So if you have your Bibles open at Luke chapter 2, I may need some help with reading the Bible because I think I need some new glasses. Maybe you'll have your surgery. But if you do recall, last week, which is a long time ago, I know, for some of you, we thought about Elizabeth and Zechariah and the reminder of God's gracious generosity. Oh, that's good, Merv. I thought you were heading out the door. Well, you're all clever people, and you possibly have picked up on the fact that we're thinking about the idea of journeys in this lead-up to Christmas, this period of Advent. And some of you may already be thinking about your own physical journey, some that you might be taking following Christmas. And I'm not counting down or anything myself, but there are 33 days until we go on ours for 2 weeks. Well, all journeys involve a decision about what to take. And I imagine that time and weather and the age factors in deciding what you take on the journey, and of course the reason for the journey, plays a crucial note. Because there's a difference between going away for work purposes and a holiday. Now, Mary and Joseph's journey to Bethlehem was no different in many senses. But it was significantly different in the most important way. They were setting off on a literal journey to Bethlehem to be part of a census, but that journey was the start of a much bigger one. Their journey was about trusting God in faith as they moved into the unknown. Their journey was about resting in him no matter what. And they instinctively understood Romans 8:28, even though it had yet to be written. And we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Note that God promises all things work to the good, not just some or most, but all. And we just have to love him with each step, each moment, each worry of our own personal journey. And we have to journey as Mary and Joseph did, in faith, in hope, in trust, and in love. And so we come to Luke 22. I wonder if someone would like to read that for us. You're really welcome to come and read from the platform if you want to. Luke chapter 2, verse 4 to 7. So Mary and Joseph had by Roman decree to register in Joseph's ancestor David's hometown. And the main reason for the census was to aid military conscription and tax collection. And as a Jew, Joseph wouldn't have been required to serve in the Roman army, but he could not avoid paying taxes. The journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem is about 70 miles. I know because I too have travelled it. It was by bus, not by foot. And I know that some of you also have taken that route. But there are two routes for this journey, and each about the same length. The last parts of the route lead from Jericho's desert, the lowest city on earth, by the way, by means of an uphill hike for about 3,500 feet to Bethlehem. I haven't done that, by the way. And so in those days, they didn't have a professional Australian system of an online census. They had to walk instead to be counted. Now, being great with child, as the King James Version says, that makes me laugh. Being great with child, Mary probably didn't ride a donkey, as a lot of pretty Christmas scenes indicate, but she possibly walked. Because have any of you great with child ever tried to ride a donkey? No? Could we try and demonstrate that now, Kylie? Would that be okay? Ashley, no, okay, all right. I'd like to put it out there, although it would be quite interesting to... I can arrange a donkey. You're up, okay, excellent, yes. Yeah, Nathan and Kylie are appearing as Mary and Joseph in our carol service soon with the donkey. But incidentally, how many wise men came to the picturesque manger scene? We all think three, don't we, sometimes? But we have a fair few preconceived ideas that don't necessarily relate to the Bible. So friends, know your Bible. And to know your Bible, you've got to read it. Because when we read things into the Bible that aren't there, and I mean things that are possibly more significant than the amount of wise men present at Christ's birth, when we read things into the Bible that aren't there, we become unstuck. When we justify themes of the Bible to suit our lifestyle, we become unstuck. And when we do that personally, and when we do that corporately, or even as a territory, we become unstuck. So friends, let's take reading and knowing our Bibles more seriously. So let's take living our Bibles more seriously too. Well, I got off the track, kind of, but sometimes we do that. We get off the track. We come off the track if we become unstuck, if we don't stay close to God's word. But Joseph and Mary's journey would have taken at least 5 days, and then they would have planned to bring the child 8 days after his birth to the temple in Jerusalem for dedication, a much shorter journey of only 6 miles. But nevertheless, they had to plan carefully, not for just one journey, but for two. They had to think carefully about what to bring with them. So in contrast, what Mary and Joseph may have taken with them, with parents to be of today. For Mary and Joseph, taking less would definitely have been best. But before we get to those scenes of nativity, let's take a step back from that scene. Because both Mary and Joseph are in uncharted waters. Each has had a plan, and that plan was to wed, but then Mary finds herself pregnant, and Joseph knows that he isn't the father. And he plans to stop their marriage to a joint life together, we're told in Matthew 1. Incidentally, I wonder if script writers of TV soaps have this as a bit of a blueprint. But then God enters in an extraordinary way, and their faith grows in both him and each other. And so in confidence, they walk into the unknown, and they do that by faith. But first, God increases Mary's faith when she's visited by the angel, Gabriel. But first she is troubled, and then she questions, and then she accepts. By the time she turns up at her cousin Elizabeth's house, she is singing for joy. But meanwhile, Joseph is ready to do the right thing and call the whole thing off. But then he's visited by an angel in a dream, and all his troubles are put aside. Like the wood that he works with, he yields to the hand of the master and is ready to be put to use for God's purposes. So now both Mary and Joseph are ready to journey together into the unknown, carried by their increased faith. And it's worth taking time to consider all the things that they would have carried along with them on their journey. Now, as well as a few of the physical things, Mary and Joseph would have been carried, that they would have carried water, food. And there must have been many unseen things that they carried too. Because Mary must have carried the memories of her plans that were put aside after she became with child. Her life had been changed forever by the angel's visit, and suddenly life was interrupted. Mary carried with her the song that she had sung with cousin Elizabeth. "The mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name," Luke 1 says. And Joseph as well carried the angel's words of instruction to marry Mary and the knowledge that she was carrying the one who was to save his people from their sins. Above all, Mary carried the memory of angel Gabriel's words, "You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High," Luke 1 tells us. So Mary carried Emmanuel, God with us, and she walked this journey by and in faith. Confident and assured in her faith, she walked with Joseph, who was described as a righteous man. Now that must have been quite some journey, a journey into the unknown for both Mary and Joseph. And from our perspective, it is part of a story we know so well, and it all seems so straightforward. A young couple pack their bags and make the journey of a lifetime. And on the face of it, to sort out their tax affairs, but fundamentally to fulfill the prophecy of Micah 5. But you, O Bethlehem, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel will come to you, will come from you, one whose origins are from the distant past. And the distant past is with us now. Our present, Christ Jesus, continues to journey with us. He carries us. He walks with us. He is our past, our present, and eternal future. And therefore, all journeys that he leads us on are safe with him. I wonder, into what unknown territory does God want you to travel this Advent and beyond? Are your plans already mapped out for the future? Or are you listening to God's voice afresh to give you direction? And perhaps he reminds us today that our journey's loads can be lightened by leaving those things with him that are causing our journeys to become heavy. Those things that we like to carry around with us, resentment, bitterness, and sin. And for those currently walking through a dark road, Jesus, light of the world, walks with you if we ask him. Psalm 23 says, he gives me new strength. He leads me on paths that are right for the good of his name. And even though I walk through a dark, very dark valley, I will not be afraid, because you are with me. Your rod and your shepherd's staff comfort me. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We have some time right now to reflect on our gracious God. Our gracious God who guides us. The thing about being guided by God is that we have to fully surrender to him so that we can listen to him, so that we can obey him, so that we can do whatever it is that we need to do. For Mary, all of her plans were gone. Her own plans were gone. But God gave her a new plan, a new purpose. And perhaps that might be something that you're looking for today. Simply listen to God.